As we are hearing the joyful pitter-patter of feet, if you would like to open your Bibles and follow along as we go through some scripture this morning, we'll be in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, starting around verse 30, but we'll kind of bounce a little bit around through Mark chapter 6 some this morning. And I'll ask ahead of time that you bear with me a little this morning. I spent all of last week in Jacksonville, Florida, for my other job, going to a very intense, very information-packed week of training and becoming certified as a TBRI practitioner. So TBRI is Trust-Based Relational Intervention, and it's a connection-based treatment modality that we use to support foster families. And so I when Amber and I started our journey as adoptive parents, we took a course in that, and it's helped us tremendously as parents. And so I had the privilege to become, kind of take that journey full circle and to become a practitioner for that. So it's a lot to be, excuse me, away from my family for a week, and to have all that information packed, and to also write a sermon while I was gone too. So I'm feeling pretty well accomplished this morning. So I'll just read quickly Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44 really quickly, and then we'll walk through that this morning as we talk about faith promise and what does that look like through some different lenses. And so, excuse me. Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 30, says this: "The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him what they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. He said to them, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place.'" That's Jesus talking to the disciples. "So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a remote place, and it is already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.' But he," Jesus, "answered, 'You give them something to eat.' They said to him, 'That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?' 'How many loaves do you have?' he asked. 'Go and see.' When they found out, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten that day was 5,000. Let's pause for prayer for just a moment. Heavenly Father, we're again grateful for the opportunity to come before you this morning. And so, God, we're asking that as we set ourselves apart this morning to think about faith promise, think about what that means, God, and to come to the end of what's hopefully been several weeks of a prayer journey with you to unpack what we feel like you're calling each one of us to commit to in this moment as we look to support our missions partners in the new year. So God, we're asking that you would be with us for the moments we have remaining. God, that we would hear something from you in scripture, not something that I have to say, but God, it's my desire that you would speak through me this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And so I think obviously, hopefully no one's shocked, it's Faith Promise Sunday. I think we've said that several times this morning. But I just want to go through, like, what is faith promise and the why behind what we're doing a little bit first. And so faith promise, again, is a faith-led commitment, right, between you and God to provide a specific amount of money that you then give to the church to steward towards our missions partners, whether domestic or international. Faith promises separate from tithing, not teething. Teething, painful. Tithing shouldn't be painful. It's not a fixed percentage. You're not saying you could say I will give, you know, a fixed percentage, but tithing is typically looked at as a fixed percentage, where faith promise is looked at it's easier, I think, to think of it as in a whole dollar term. Tithing is rooted in discipline, right? So God provided my income, so in thankful obedience, I give back to him in thanks for it to be used for his kingdom and to support the local church that I attend. Faith promise, however, is rooted in faith. From the very beginning, I know where my tithe comes from. I know what my income is, right? For all of us that are working, all of us that are receiving, you know, support through retirement, whatever that is, I know what that income is, and so I set a portion of that aside to give to him. Faith promise, I don't know where the first cent comes from. It's a moment of connecting with Christ and searching out what he might call me to do. And that can look like $50, $100, $500, $10,000. It can look like whatever you and God have come up with. So that's the what. But the why, I think, is even more important to understand. And so as a church, we have set out for years and years and years. I've been here for over 12 years, 15 years, something like that. I don't know the exact number. Probably longer than 15. And so through then, we have always supported a variety of mission partners. And so the ones that we hear most often from are folks like Larry and Leanne Sellers, who have committed their lives to serve in the mission field, to serve in Africa, and who have served the Ivory Coast for years and years and years. And they have come time and time again and told us specific things that the money we send has done. Things like helping to send folks to training, to their Bible school there, to begin to make the separation between them as leaders and establish leaders that are African in their own cities and towns and villages. It has done things like drilling wells in places of Africa to provide clean, sustainable water for families there. We heard from Children of Promise this year. We heard how they're providing wholeness to families through your monthly contributions, whether you sponsor a specific child or whether you donate to their outreach fund, right? It's providing life-changing needs for kids. We support ministries here locally like The Twig, who provides not only a safe place for foster families to come and to meet one another and find community, but it also provides tangible things like clothing and diapers and formula to not only children in foster care, but recently, about 6 months ago, they changed their mission to include families who have adopted from the child welfare system as well. And so for me, as a adoptive parent, I can also bring my kids there and find community, and I can get clothing and other things to help support my family as well as an adoptive family. And your faith promise supports them. So we talked about the what, we talked about the why, and shared a few of the ones that we supported. You should all have a half of a sheet of paper that's, you know, vertical, right, that has all the missions partners that we support in Faith Promise with a little bit about what they do. And so I think it's important as you commit with God to give, you see where that's going, right? We as a church have an obligation to steward that money appropriately, and so we want you to know where that's going. So I think the last thing to really do with Faith Promise this morning is unpack, what does Scripture have to say about this? Is this something that humans have contrived and manipulated something to, you know, or become like a new mechanism of the church to like just get money from people? And that's not the case, because Scripture has a lot to say. I think a lot of people would gravitate towards 2 Corinthians, right? Chapters 8 and 9, and they would see a lot about what Paul has to say about certain churches and giving beyond their means and doing those things to support the missions. But we've already read through Mark chapter 6 this morning, and not that 2 Corinthians is not good. I just think that you can see elements of what faith promise looks like in other passages of Scripture as well. And so I want to unpack the feeding of the 5,000 and look at what that has to say about us as we launch into this journey of faith promise together. The first thing that we see in Mark chapter 6 is that Jesus is trying to go and have a little solitude with the disciples, and he's trying to rest with them because it's been a long day. There's a lot of stuff that's been going on. If you go and read like the first Mark 3, 4, and 5, like there's a lot of stuff that got packed in there at the beginning. But the first thing that we see is Jesus has compassion on the people that are gathered there. Because Jesus' ministry is about community. And so when we think about Faith Promise, I think we have to think of it first it's a community, right? God is the ultimate model of community. If you look at the Trinity, it is God perfectly living in harmony with himself. The Trinity is community. In the beginning of chapter 6, we see Jesus sending the disciples out in groups of two. Right? So before we get here to the end, in the very beginning of Mark chapter 6, Jesus sends them out in groups. He builds community amongst themselves as disciples as they go out and minister to the people in the community. Why was community so important? Why is the way that the Trinity is structured, why do we use that as a model for community? And it's, I think, for a few important reasons. Number one, we need support. We can't do things on our own, but we need to have a support system to help us as we go and do what is the hard work. I think community also gives us an ally so that as we go out to minister, we have another person who's like-minded that can encourage us as the road becomes difficult. You see, in Faith Promise, there are certain people in a ministry that go out and do the work, right? And we may not go and be boots on the ground. Some people do that. Some people have been on mission trips. We've gone on mission trips to help our Faith Promise partners before. But just because we don't go and to be boots on the ground doesn't mean that they still don't need our support or that our support can't be community with them. And so I think it's not by mistake that we use the term mission partner, right? We are in this together. So if we don't physically go into the mission field, we can send our financial support to help the people that have committed their life to go. I've never one time heard Larry and Leanne Sellers say that we aren't a partner with them in their ministry, even though we've never been to Africa. And so as we support and send our financial support, it is us going out with them in a little bit of a different way. The Bible has a lot to say about community, and I'll just share a couple of passages. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them." Galatians 6:2 says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." 1 John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light, and as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." Romans 12:5 says, "So in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others." We heard that a little bit this morning in prayer, is that as one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. As one part rejoices, we all rejoice. As one part does, so do the others. And I love Paul's use of this imagery because it takes more than one thing. And I think we always associate it and we talk about the body of Christ as some people are the hands and some people are the feet and the eyes and the ears. And some people are the missionaries that are sent. And some stay behind to support them through prayer, through financial support. We want to look at it as more than just sending a check, writing a check, checking the box. We want to truly, as we give our faith promise to our missions partners, we want to do more. We want to pray with them. We want to support them. We want to feel the joy when they feel the joy. We want to be a part of the burden of the ministry that they do. And again, going back, Mark chapter 6, Jesus sends the disciples out in pairs. Our ministry partners are being sent, and God has called us to go with them as well. And even though we don't go, we are part of the two that are sent out into the missions field. The second thing that I think we can see in the feeding of the 5,000 is it requires us to give what we have in faith. Starting in verse 35 in our text, it says, By this time it was late in the day, so the disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it is very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he, Jesus, answered, you give them something to eat. They said to him that that would take more than half a year's wages. Are we going to spend that much money on bread and give it to them? Kind of, what a dumb question to ask Jesus. But he replies, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. How quickly the disciples were to dismiss the crowd. I was going to go back and kind of create like a very bulleted list of all the stuff that they had just watched Jesus do. But I think that could get a little bit tedious. But they had just watched him heal people. They had just watched him, you know, have people healed from blindness, from being deaf, from leprosy, like things that were lifelong ailments that got you rejected by society. He just watched them do some pretty amazing things. But how easy they were ready to just give up. Send them away. We're tired. They're tired. Just get them out of here. They would need a half a year's worth of wages. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being in a group of people and being told you need to feed them and being like, I don't have 50 grand. It's inflation. It's probably like 75,000 now to feed that many people. But Jesus doesn't admonish them. He doesn't tell them, oh, ye of little faith, which he has in other places. He simply asks them a question. What do you have? Two fish, five loaves. We recently spent some time learning about the feeding of the 5,000 in Kids Club in our January meeting, and I really confused everybody. So at the very beginning, somebody asked me how many fish and how many loaves, and I reversed the numbers. It was my mom. And so she's feeding them snack, and what we teach the kids biblically is basically in the foundation of every activity that they do. Snack matches the theme, and we kind of set the stage for what they're going to be learning about in snack. And so here they are in snack, eager to go, and so they're given five goldfish and two like soup crackers, right, for the bread. And so they come into music with Miss Nancy, and they're up here, and she's like, let's sing, and she has props, and she has five loaves and two fish, and they're telling her she's wrong. And she's like, no, I've been doing this a while. Like, I know what it is. And she's like, I have a song, and the song tells us. And so all the kids are coming up to me like, you're wrong. You're the pastor, and you got it wrong. And I was like, yeah. So then I had to go, Nancy, how many fish and how many loaves? And she corrected me. And so aside from the number, right, I think irrelevant to the part, but I now know how many it is. It's a simple question of what do you have? They had two fish and five loaves. I think a lot of us can think when it comes to faith promises, oh, I'm on a fixed type of income. I have a certain amount of bills. I have health concerns. I have all these things, and I am not diminishing any of that. But it's easy to fall into the thought that my $20 isn't a lot. It's easy to look back at this story and put yourselves in the shoes and or the sandals or the nothing of the disciples and think we don't have enough to feed them. But did you know that $26.50 would pay for a month of food, school uniforms, school fees, supplies, a month of healthcare, a month of medicine if needed, and a Christian education full of activities that are led by teachers and volunteers in a local Church of God congregation in a country supported by Children of Promise. $26.50. That is one and a half drinks at Starbucks. But I think it's important to understand that it is not your one gift. Although a small amount can do a lot, that's a lot of stuff. That is what Children of Promise calls wholeness for a child. But it's I give $26.50 and somebody else gives $26.50 and somebody else does $10. And it's the amount that ends up where we can have a few people giving what they feel is their best with God. And when you put it all together, it's tens of thousands of dollars being sent to missions partners. We send on average around $1,000 to the Twig every single year since we've had them as a missions partner. And that thousands of dollars provides hope and joy for families and kids going through a difficult time. It provides continued community for people who are no longer in the child welfare system like me, who have adopted, but they can continue to find community with people who understand what it's like. Jesus is not asking for us to support an entire ministry. The question he asks is, what do you have? Do you have faith to see beyond the concrete dollar amount, to see the hope and the freedom and wholeness that it can offer? And so as we're thinking in the next few minutes, and hopefully, again, you've been praying, we've been talking about this for a few weeks, hopefully you've been searching that out. And again, whether it's 10, 100, or 1,000, it's not the zeros behind the number. It's the faith. Do you have faith that if you give that $10 that you feel is what you can do, that God can do immeasurably more with it? The third thing that we see in this story is that if we have faith in that thought that God will provide. I've often wondered, as I've read the feeding of the 5,000, now I understand, again, the right amount of fish and loaves, but what did that look like? You ever read something in scripture, a parable or something, and kind of try to put yourself in that story, like you place yourself in a character, right? I imagine being one of the people who's like I'd be excited to see Jesus. Like, I'd probably run after him too, like, and, you know, leave the countryside, you know, and follow him if I've witnessed and seen him do some of these things. But what did that look like to be told, like, we're going to feed you? And if you go back to the beginning of Mark chapter 6, the disciples know they're not feeding them because they said, Jesus, what should we take? And he said, nothing. Don't take any money. Don't take any food. God will provide as you go. And so they're probably like, okay, we can find stuff that we need. We'll figure it out. We'll barter. We'll trade. We'll fish. We'll do what we need to feed like ourselves. But now here's 5,000 men. If you were to estimate and say if each man was married and had 1 to 2 children, you're talking about 25 to 35,000 people. A significant number of people. But what did that look like? They bring the fish, they bring the loaves, and did Jesus give thanks and like a buffet station just like magically pops up like Golden Corral? I mean, like, could you get baked fish, fried fish? Like, could you get fish stew? Like, what were the options? What if someone was a vegetarian? Like, was there a vegan option for them? Like, what did that look like to see that happen? Some people, I think, would imagine it's like Jesus says it and boom, there's just like fish and bread everywhere, like it's raining down from the heavens or something. But if we go back and we really kind of look at verse 41 and we read it and again, try to place yourself there. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute. And I have to wonder, the question is, when did it multiply? Did it multiply when Jesus gave thanks? Or did it multiply because the disciples had faith to go and do it? Because we started with 5 fish and 2 loaves. At some point, the disciples, though not having the faith at the beginning, like wanting to send the people away, at some point they had to say, okay, he said it, I'm gonna go, and they just start passing it around. And I think it's less of the buffet station. I think it's less of just like mounds of stuff just appearing. I think because God blessed it and they had the faith to go, it multiplied as they went to each person in faith and gave them their portion. It would have been so easy for them to like, hey, we have 5 fish and 2 loaves, like let's not even bring it to them. Right, and I know it sounds like they doubted, but at some level they thought maybe Jesus could do something with it, like, hey, we have it. So their faith to bring it back, their faith to bring the pieces is where the multiplication happened. Robert Morris, who's a pastor, and some of you may have heard of him, he has a big online presence. He does a lot of talking about the principle of multiplication, biblically speaking. There's a principle of multiplication in mathematics. It's boring, but if you think, sorry if you like math. but he looks at, biblically speaking, what is the foundations of the principle of multiplication. And so I want to look at three stories where a little bit fed a lot of people. And we'll look at the principles of multiplication, biblically speaking. And so we know the very well-known feeding of the 5,000. Did you know there's a lesser-known feeding of the 4,000? It happens right away after that. So Jesus fed about 100,000 people in a couple of days with some bread and fish. But also going back to the Old Testament, Elijah feeds 100 people with a small amount of loaves, 10 loaves maybe. Yes, no? Anyway, doesn't matter. The number is irrelevant. But there are two things that we see happen in each one of these stories. First, the offering is blessed and given thanks for. We see Jesus do that in the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000. You don't necessarily see Elijah giving thanks for the bread, but the bread is made from the first fruits. So the first fruits were the best yield of the crop that was set aside for God. And so the bread was baked with those first fruits. So that means that set aside was blessed by God because it was given and committed to him. The second is that it has to be given away. So what is provided in faith is blessed by God and then given. And in the giving is when things are multiplied. So in the feeding again of the 5,000 and 4,000, Jesus gives thanks and blesses, and it's multiplied in the giving. As the disciples go, it's multiplied. And so I want us to think about that. The band is going to come in a minute, and they're going to play. Pastor Ron is going to come and give us further direction on what to do and how we kind of close out this morning. But if you have faith to give, we will pray over our pledge today. We will commit it to God. And then we, as it comes in, will send. Every dollar, every penny, everything that comes from Faith Promise goes right back out. So the question that we have to answer today is, what are your 5 loaves? What are your 2 fish? What do you feel like you have to give in faith? We're not asking you to support an entire missions partner, but we feel led by God to ask you, what do you have? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, this moment, this time we can set apart for you. And so God, help each person, whether they've been praying about it for weeks, whether they've just started praying about it now, God, help them to answer that question, not on their own, but God, to really, truly seek from you, God, to answer the question, what do we have? And God, we commit ourselves to give everything that people are saying is what they have to you, God, for you to bless first, and then, God, we're committing to giving it away. So God, help us, each one in this room, as we make that decision. And we'll be sure to give you thanks for each thing. In Jesus' name.